There seems to be a definite pattern emerging. And this pattern, once isolated, can be coped with.
I had another panic attack.
I wish you had told me.
Yeah, well, I wish you'd cured it.
This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson, and today we're looking at the guy who brought us face-to-face with rage, repression, and lust, Sigmund Freud.
When you go into his mind, the entire world you find in there is created out of black velvet.
We'll hear about a video game that lets you play shrink.
As a player, you help him fight the bull.
My guest is the psychoanalyst and philosopher Jonathan Lear.
A cigar never means just a cigar.
And later in the show, Sarah Jones, the star of her own new one-woman show on Broadway, taps into her own inner Pakistani accountant.
The one way I would characterize it, no pun intended there, characterize, okay.
That's all ahead in Studio 360, right after this.
PRI's Studio 360 is made possible in part by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. 2006 marks the 150th anniversary of the birth of Sigmund Freud. But the birthday of this giant of modern thought isn't getting nearly as much buzz as another cultural phenomenon happening this spring. Woke up this morning, got yourself a gun. The final season of The Sopranos premieres next month. These days, with Prozac and Zoloft, fewer and fewer people are lying down on the old-fashioned analyst couch. But on The Sopranos, we've loved those glimpses into the psyche of our favorite guilt-racked mobster.
I could be going to the can for the rest of my f***ing life, and I'm not supposed to discuss it with my psychiatrist? What the f*** are you for, anyway?
How does that make you feel, the idea that you might be sent to prison?
Today in Studio 360, we're talking about Sigmund Freud's long shadow. Jonathan Lear is my guest. Dr. Lear is both a practicing psychoanalyst and a professor of philosophy. He's written about how psychoanalysis applies to love, happiness, life, death, pretty much all the big stuff. Jonathan Lear, welcome to Studio 360.
Hello. Hi.
Are you a fan of The Sopranos?
I love The Sopranos. I think it's a great show. And I also very much like the way the psychotherapy is portrayed on the show.
Really? Is it realistic?
I don't think it's realistic in some sense. I mean, there's a kind of speed to it that doesn't fit my own experience of it. But what I do think is very realistic about it is that Tony Soprano is somebody who is wrestling with some handful of problems that go back to early life and seem to still be alive in the present, and they're coming out in the conversations, and that does seem to me to be very well done.
Now, before we go any further in this program, I need to ask you, what is psychoanalysis as opposed to all the various forms of therapy?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and I think that's partly why when you asked me about The Sopranos, what would one call that? Tony is not going in and lying down on the couch. I think it's very influenced by Freud. It's very influenced by psychoanalysis, but they're sitting up. I would guess they meet once a week for conversations. There's a lot of back and forth between Dr. Melfi where she's giving a lot of reactions. So I would call that a dynamically minded, psychoanalytically informed psychotherapy.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, well, that's what's of interest there is what are the conflicts in the mind that Tony might not be aware of that she can help him bring to the fore and see how that's getting manifested in his current life.
And we see his dreams a lot, too. Is that a residue of the Freudian way of thinking about how the mind works?
Definitely. It's actually, I've been studying dream life in other cultures through history, and one of the things I've come to see is that it's only very recently and for an extraordinarily short period of time that people think, well, dreams are not that important. I mean, by and large, humans have thought that dream life is extraordinarily important, and cultures have thought that it provides some kind of a message from the world of spirits or giving certain great prophetic powers into the future. What Freud did was to take up this pervasive human phenomenon and tried to provide systematic account of how it might come together without invoking the gods and saying, well, this is, you know, Shakespeare said that fault is not in our stars but in ourselves. I mean, trying to see how these phenomena are meaningful phenomena. They tell us something about ourselves, but we are the generators of it.
Now, Jonathan, civilians like me use Freudian terms, I guess, all the time without even realizing it. We talk about our egos and our id, and he's anal retentive. Or do people come into you sort of equipped with that lingo?
Everybody has that lingo.
Yeah.
I mean, by and large, my experience is when people have a story to tell that involves psychological concepts about what they're like, they usually use that narrative as a defense against actually trying to find out what they're like. You know, so-called insight into oneself is a huge defense against insight into oneself.
Well, that almost sounds like a Buddhist koan or something.
But, well, you know, the Buddhists had something going for them with their koans.
And they do today still.
Yeah.
Speaking of throwing around Freudian terminology a lot,